On this episode of the Flophouse, we review Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, you spilled it.
Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin as himself.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
We're doing a podcast.
Man, you're smiling.
You're always surprised. You're always shocked that we're doing a podcast.
It seems weird because I've spent the last 15 minutes setting up all the equipment.
Yeah. Who could have warned you that it was to have a podcast?
And we watched a movie before that. So, you'd assume.
And
that
we also
weren't doing that just for funsies.
And we also made plans weeks ahead of time.
Weird. Man, I got to start getting control of my life.
Yeah,
I'm spiraling out.
I think the start would be to put some pants on.
I mean, the good thing is I'm apparently doing everything on autopilot. Like, I'm just doing all this stuff even though I don't know why.
I guess that's good.
Is this the Dancast, your weekly therapy podcast?
It's different than our traditional duck cast.
I think we established that I don't know what's going on, so...
That's true.
Why don't you explain, Elliot?
Well, for those of you listening for the first time, because every episode is somebody's first time...
Oh, yeah.
This is the Flophouse.
They're getting fucked while they're listening to this,
whoa,
is what you're saying.
Whoa, we're what, a minute and a half in? Give it some time.
All right, sorry.
Oof, okay.
You gotta fucking tease it a little bit. You gotta make sure it's cool, and then you slip in the whole swearing.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I can
not
only
the way I would have put it.
Assume that seemed like the way you said it sexualized it a little bit.
So for those of you first just joining us for the first episode, if you've never heard before, this is The Flophouse, a podcast starring three friends in real life who are also friends on a podcast.
Okay.
And they watch a movie that in some ways a flop, critically, financially, or just bad.
Who cares?
And then they talk about it afterwards.
Yeah. And tonight we watched a little movie called Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
I mean, financially, it was a big movie,
it
right?
It was a big hit financially. Critically, not so much.
I mean, it stars a Flophouse fave.
That's right.
Idris Elba.
Boom.
You guys were fucking practicing that in the bathroom, weren't you?
Among other things.
Although, to be fair, Idris Elba actually was in a couple of Flophouse movies.
He was, yeah. He was
Prom
in
Night
Prom
and
Night,
Obsessed.
Obsessed. But it also stars our real Flophouse favorite, Mr. Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. So, Cageophiles out there, you can check this off on your Cage calendar.
Which is like an advent calendar, but little Nicolas Cage is always behind the doors.
Yep.
Yeah. You flip over the month. You flip it over to August, and lo and behold, you reveal
right there,
Ghost Rider.
DVD copy of Honeymoon in Vegas.
So, Dan, why don't you pull up on your screen there. How many Nicolas Cage movies have we reviewed?
I have no screen, and I don't have
way to ruin the illusion.
So
I was
let's just say 400,000.
Yeah.
We've done 400,000 episodes.
Of Nicolas Cage movies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Also, in our sister podcast, we've mentioned before The Cage House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or so, we just talk Nick Cage.
And the episode of the Star Trek, The Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the Star Trek, I call it.
The Star Trek, yeah.
I turn into a grandparent.
That is the first sign of age, is when you start putting the in front of things that don't belong.
So this is a sequel of sorts, right?
It is a sequel,
literally.
Yeah, it's not of sorts.
In the sort that it is a sequel.
This is a sequel to the hit film Ghost Rider, in which Nicolas Cage first introduced
played
us.
A ghost that rode.
Yep, that's, I guess, the simplest part of it. He's actually not a ghost.
What?
He's a man with a demon trapped inside of him that turns him into a flaming, skull-headed biker monster.
Yep.
Who fights crime and wants to root out evil.
You gotta say, that sounds like the best thing ever.
Well, he punishes evildoers. The last movie, which is recapped in the very beginning of this movie after a short fight scene between Idris Elba and some Eurotrash types over a kid. In the last movie, Nicolas Cage,
a very Creole Idris Elba.
Well, he's French.
Okay.
But he also could be possibly like Haitian.
Sure.
Some other country that speaks French. But his name is Moreau. He speaks French. He's obsessed with wine, as we'll find out later in the movie. But Nicolas Cage was a daredevil stunt biker, Johnny Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have known from his fire-based last name that he would turn into a fire demon. But no, he didn't. Finding out his father, also a stunt biker, is dying, he sells his soul to the devil and is turned into Ghost Rider, a spirit of vengeance.
Here played by TV's Kieran Hines.
What does he play on TV?
Well, he's in that new Sigourney Weaver TV show.
Oh, and Political
he was also,
Animals?
Yeah, and he was also Julius Caesar in Rome.
Okay, there you go.
So and, he plays a devil in this.
He's
replacing Peter Fonda from the first Ghost Rider movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they morphed into each other.
Well, he also did. He also replaced him in Easy Rider 2, Future World 2, Westworld 3,
so
and many other Peter Fonda
movies. He's like
movies.
Tom Berenger's Treat Williams is what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. Yuli's Gold 2, The Search for Yuli's Gold. But so he sold his soul to the devil. Enough said. So there's this kid that the devil is chasing after, and we don't know why.
Yeah, what's going on?
The devil's henchmen are all over this kid. Mm-hmm. And the kid is with his mom, who's a single mom. They're in Eastern Europe. We know this because the words Eastern Europe show up on the screen at the very beginning. And
can't get more specific than that. That seems like
eventually
a pretty
they're in
wide
a place,
swath.
Eventually,
I mean,
they're
pretty,
somewhere in Turkey.
I mean,
but,
I pretty much assumed it was Eastern Europe from the amount of eyeshadow our leading lady was wearing.
And also the fact that the entire movie looks like it was shot in cheap Eastern European locations.
And all the henchmen are wearing leather jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like the fact that they copped to it taking place in Eastern Europe since it obviously was shot there.
Right.
It's like Rumble in the Bronx that was shot in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you had those snow-capped peaks rising over the Bronx.
Yep. All the dune buggies racing through the streets.
Ending up on golf courses.
Or how Vicky Cristina Barcelona was actually filmed inside a volcano.
It is weird how there's just lava oozing behind every scene.
Constantly, yeah.
I thought that
and
was sexual
men.
Tension, but in fact,
that's
it was hot magma.
That's what the Woodman said it represented. That's what all his fans call him. And I'm talking, of course, of Woody Harrelson. Star of Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Now,
He played Barcelona.
Yeah, he played the title character of Barcelona. Barcelona Jones, the detective, who Vicky hires to catch Christina after Christina runs off with the drug money. Anywho, so they're after this kid, and Idris Elba approaches Johnny Blaze, who is living in a shack in the middle of nowhere, and tells him,
"Sounds right.
I know you have a demon inside you that turns you into a motorcycle madman. If you..."
Why is this movie called Motorcycle Madman?
It'd be pretty great if it was.
"And I am in desperate need of a motorcycle madman.
If you help me find this kid, I will take you to a secret monk labyrinth where they will pull the demon out of you and you'll be safe. Your curse will be over." And Johnny Blaze is like...
"That's a pretty good deal."
Yeah. And Nicolas Cage does a lot of like shaking his head and acting like he's a drug fiend and then says, "Okay, I'll do it." And then turns into the Ghost Rider as the villains catch up with the kid and his mom. Right as they're in the midst of kidnapping, literally, as the kid has been knocked unconscious and is taking a nap.
Not after putting up quite a fight.
He puts up quite – yeah. The kid and his mom are pretty much almost a match for four Eastern European henchmen, which is pretty impressive or just disappointing if it's the henchmen we're talking about.
So the arrival of a giant flaming demon – kind of tips the scales a little? Or?
Not that much, actually. And they don't seem that fazed by it, even after he uses a magic fire chain to turn three of the henchmen into literally ash. Their bodies burn up in an instant.
Yeah, it's like they're vampires.
And one guy, Ghost Rider, performs his penance stare on, which returns the pain the gazer has caused tenfold to, I guess, also turn a guy into fire dust. But then the main henchman bad guy, whose name is Kerrigan, after Nancy Kerrigan, the ice skater, shoots Ghost Rider with like a giant, what is it, like a cannon shell?
It's like a bazooka or something.
And Ghost Rider's kind of knocked out, and they take the kid and drive away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's his weakness in the comics, right,
is
bazooka shells.
Is being hit with bazooka shells, yeah, exactly. It's a pretty specific superhero weakness. You can drop an atom bomb on him, he's fine, but a bazooka shell can't take it.
That's why Ghost Rider's main supervillain was Bazooka Joe.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing because Bazooka,
also a comic book hero.
Yeah.
Bazooka Joe was killing people and stealing their eyes to see if they fit where his eye was missing. That's like if Neil Gaiman wrote a Bazooka Joe comic.
And if you pull down Mort's turtleneck, all you see is a horrifically scarred face.
Yeah, exactly. And he's sharp demon teeth.
Yeah.
So Ghost Rider and this mom and Idris Elba are on the chase to find this kid and to stop the bad guys because it turns out this kid is the son of the devil.
So it could have been called Catch That Kid.
It could have been called Ghost Rider Catch That Kid, yeah, which would have been a pretty great title. Except it would have meant at some point in the movie he would have had to have said, Catch That Kid. The villain, the demon's name, devil's name is Rourke. It turns out that he wants to. The devil is inside of a weak human shell that is literally burning up from the inside. It can't contain the unholy power of the devil. And so he wants to transfer his soul into the kid's body. The kid's body being stronger because it's half demon, half human, but also already has demon powers in it, which allow him to turn off the Ghost Rider element inside of Johnny Blaze. Now, there's a lot of people getting driven around back and forth.
Sure.
There's a big fight scene at a bad guy military installation where Ghost Rider gets into a giant chainsaw crane, which goes up in flames, yeah, and he's just slamming it down on top of people.
Yeah. And I think he's laughing. He's totally
He is loving it. I mean, Ghost Rider is loving it. In the comics, he's a pretty stoic figure, and he doesn't seem to get much pleasure.
Implacable.
Doesn't seem to even have much of a personality. But here, I guess there's a lot of Nicolas Cage coming through because he's like wisecracking at times.
Yeah, there's definitely some classic Cage moments in this movie.
Yeah, he enjoys. There's one scene where Johnny Blaze is riding his motorcycle straight towards the camera while fighting the urge to turn into Ghost Rider and then eventually succumbing to it. And it's
the climax of the movie, basically, for all us Cageophiles.
Yes, except it's like 25 minutes in. But it's basically, it looks like a scene from Kung Fu Hustle. Like, it's really cartoony. His eyes are disappearing into skull holes and he's like,
he's like shaking his head like, you know, he's like Bruce Campbell in one of the Evil Dead movies trying to like keep himself from transforming fully into like a deadite.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, it's like that or like Jim Carrey in The Mask.
Yeah, in The Mask.
In The Mask.
That's Popeye who just saw The Mask.
I just saw that movie, The Mask. It wasn't a good Popeye at all.
No,
I'm going to do this thing where he says,
You saved it.
Now I'm going to walk over here.
Pluto, move out of the way. Can't see the screen. Well, I think that.
That's one of the greatest thing about the Popeye cartoons is just like the Popeye has the need to narrate everything.
The Popeye? Is he the Batman all of a sudden?
He narrates everything that happens
the
on
the
screen. The
legend of the Popeye.
Yeah. Go over here now.
Well, that's
how do you like this?
It was great because you had, what was his name? Mercer? I can't remember the name of the guy who did Popeye's voice, who I think was just one of the animators at the Fleischer Studios.
Right.
But like, so they would just shove in dialogue when Popeye's mouth wasn't moving. And just like, yeah, I guess I'll go over here. Oh, not much over there. Where is it? And like, those are the funniest jokes in the whole thing. But anyway.
So that happens a bunch.
So we'll talk more about that when we finally watch The Popeye Rises, the final of the Popeye trilogy. So Ghost Rider is enjoying himself a lot, but Johnny Cage, Johnny Blaze does not
so
like
hard.
It. I'll just call him Nicolas Cage.
You can call him Johnny Cage. I mean, he is the hero of the Mortal Kombat universe.
That's true. Or the avant-garde musician. So they eventually capture the kid, they catch that kid, as the title says, and they take him to a secret monk labyrinth. It's like cave dwellings or Mos Eisley, or as Stuart, you said, it's like the set for Eternia from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Suddenly there's a lot of Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah, it's all very – it's filtered through red colors, and they're with these monks, one of them played by –
fan favorite Christopher Lambert.
Fan
or
favorite.
Christopher Lambert.
And he's got.
In his native tongue.
He has words tattooed all over him, like the guy in that one story in Qui-Gon. And they are supposed to do a ritual that's going to remove the devil from inside the kid's body.
So we meet a bunch of crazy monks with tattoos all over them. And
yeah.
They look like they live in a Jawa village, but they're not Jawas.
Jawas.
And so we're supposed
Jawas.
To. Like, we meet these
Jawas
guys.
Jawas with jowls.
We meet these guys that, of course, they're fucking bad guys.
Yeah,
like, they're bad dudes.
They act like bad guys. They are going to kill the kid because it's the only way to, they say, to stop him. But they're like, Christopher Lambert is smiling while he's saying it. Also, right before this, Idris Elba manages to release the curse from Johnny Blaze. He does this by giving him a piece of host or bread to, actually it's not host, it's just bread.
Sure.
To represent the body of Christ. They drink 2,000-year-old wine.
best kind of wine.
Idris Elba talks for a long time about how much he loves wine. And then you basically sweat out the Ghost Rider the same way you would sweat out a heroin addiction.
Yeah.
He locks Johnny Blaze in a room, and Johnny Blaze just kind of DTs and hallucinates until he doesn't have a demon inside of him anymore. But that's when they find out, the monks want to kill the kid by chopping his head off.
That's the kind of time when you'd want to have a demon inside you, right?
You better believe it. Luckily, someone else comes to the kid's rescue. Who is it? It's Kerrigan, who was killed but brought back to life by the devil as classic Ghost Rider villain Blackout.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the bad guy in the original Ghost Rider movie Blackout?
That was Blackheart.
That was Blackheart.
The son of Mephisto.
Okay, so this guy is completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated, except in the way that all the Ghost Rider villains are related because they're all kind of crappy.
Don't they all look like ninjas or something?
No, you're thinking of Death Watch,
okay.
The ninja mob boss with long hair. There's also...
Okay, so was he in this movie?
He's not. Neither is Vengeance, the anti-hero version of Ghost Rider.
What about Snowblind?
Snowblind is not in it. Neither is
Zodiac.
Ninja? I don't think so. Not all of Ghost Rider's villains are ninjas.
But, I mean,
but all of them have names that sound like G.I. Joe villains, apparently.
Yes. Well, they
Which thus means they could all be ninjas.
Okay, good point. Touché.
Checkmate.
Mate and checkmate.
So does the bad guy use any shurikens or katanas?
He uses neither. He uses his hands because now he has the power to decay things and rot them just by touching them.
Okay.
And there's some neat moments with that. There's a funny part that Dan liked. Where he's driving in a stolen ambulance, and he's trying to find food he can eat, and the food keeps crumbling to dust in his hands, and then he finds a Twinkie, and it's okay.
Oh yeah, he did.
All right, look, I'm not saying it's not a hacky joke. I'm saying that it went by very quickly, and it livened up what had at that point become a very dull movie.
Okay, good point. So Blackout saves the day, except he's a villain, so he kidnaps the kid. He catches that kid, as the title says. Then he takes him to another totally different stupid location where the devil is going to hold this ceremony to put his soul inside of the kid, just like Ghostbusters 2, basically. Blackout is that guy's Stingo. And I can never remember the name of that actor, so I was calling by his character in Sophie's Choice. But
He was also in
Ali McBeal.
Milos or something.
Yeah, Milos.
That's his character's name, but I mean, not the actor's name.
Wait, it's not the same.
I don't know. He's the guy from Dragon Slayer. He was the kid in Dragon Slayer.
Was he? Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he in Ali McBeal or something?
Yeah, I just said he was in Ali McBeal.
Oh, wait, you did?
Yes.
Okay, so his name's Milos.
It's not. The character's name was Milos. He's not named that.
And he's not Vigo.
No.
Vigo's a different
Vigo
guy.
Vigo's in a painting.
The Carpathian is
the butcher. Yeah.
So that's not the name of the actor.
Well, it's Milos is a bad guy, too, but he's a henchman. He's the Renfield to Vigo.
Okay, so we've talked about Milos.
So that was – and by the way, I just want to say this is a memory blast from the past. That was one of those characters because I saw Ghostbusters 2 in the theaters. I was probably about 6 or 7, and I was shocked later to find out that was not that actor's real accent. That he did not have this ridiculous, dripping Eastern European fake accent.
Well, that reminds me when I was very young and and my brother was telling my sister-in-law, at the time his girlfriend, that Harpo Marx was not a mute in real life. And I said, and Chico was an Italian. Like, yes, these brothers, one of them wasn't Italian.
It's amazing
wasn't
that
Italian.
These four brothers, one was Jewish, one was Italian, one was a mute elf of some kind, and the other was not funny.
Yep.
And then, of course, there was Gummo, who was not in the movies. But anyway, moving on. So they're at this bullshit ceremony where the devil's going to spit his soul into the boy. Our heroes run in with a bunch of guns that they took from the armory of the monks. They're shooting people up, shooting people down. They run in, and turns out they're a little bit overpowered. Blackout and Idris Elba start a fight, and the devil is going to kill Nicolas Cage. And then the kid says... I have all the same power that you have, right, Dad? And the devil's like, yeah, that's true. And he goes, okay.
Why do you bring it up at this exact moment?
This seems a strange time to remind me of that. And then the kid vomits fire into Nicolas. And Nicolas Cage goes, do it. And the kid vomits fire into his mouth for about an hour. And Nicolas Cage becomes Ghost Rider again, slays all the bad guys.
Yeah, they all turn into ash.
But the the devil and the kid escape. There's a car chase.
Yep.
The Ghost Rider is jumping around from car to car.
Basically,
all the cars get crashed.
Most of the trailer was cut from that sequence.
From the car chase, yeah.
Yeah.
And also one shot where Ghost Rider is peeing fire, which I was very disappointed to learn was not a real scene. It's just the kid asks him what happens if you have to pee when you're Ghost Rider.
Maybe a flashback.
It's like a Family Guy swish pan to like, remember the time you were Ghost Rider and you had to pee? Cut to guy peeing fire all over the place, and then Ghost Rider looks over his shoulder at the camera and nods as if like, yeah, you know it.
You love it.
I'm peeing fire.
I'm doing it. So
put him on the glass.
You probably could have just imagined it, but here it is.
Here it is. Ghost Rider does all these things. He pulls the devil out of a car crash, and then
You're really getting into the micro.
Whips him up with a chain so hard that he slams him down into hell.
Uh-huh.
Where he turns into fire and dies or something?
Pretty much, yeah. The devil apparently can't take the fires of hell.
So wait a minute. The devil after saying that was the worst deal he ever made. So the devil made Ghost Rider way tougher than himself. Right?
Yeah. It's just like the old question, could God ever make a rock so heavy even God couldn't lift it? Because he can't be all powerful if either way. It's like the devil went out of his way to create a minion of hell who is way more powerful than the devil.
Bad move, huh?
On his part.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's dead now. And the kid looks like he's dead, but then Ghost Rider, using a power we've never seen before, uses his skeletal hand with blue flame in it. He just caresses the child's cheek, and the child gets brought back to life.
That makes sense.
And the kid goes, "Did we win?" And Nicolas Cage goes, "Yes." And then it snap zooms into his face, and he goes, "Hell yes." and that's the end of the movie. And so the movie gets both sillier and more boring, I feel like, as it goes on. It starts out at a very silly pitch, but a fun pitch, and then it gets kind of dull. You know.
So yeah. Thanks, David Goyer, for that one.
Well, I mean, David Goyer didn't direct it.
He was probably this was based on one phone call from David Goyer, right?
Maybe, yeah. Where they said, David, can you name some Ghost Rider villains? And he went, there's Blackout. Good, done, fine, great. Didn't we use Blackout in the last one? No, you used Blackheart. Great, whatever.
We'll just Wikipedia the rest.
What was the name of the...
That's very similar to his process when directing Blade 3, or Blade Trinity, as it's called.
Yeah, here's one thing I got to say about that supervillain.
In Blade Trinity?
No, in this movie.
You mean Blackout or Rourke, the devil?
The Blackout.
Or Blackheart from the first
the
one.
The devil...
Or Blackjack, which is the thing you hit people with.
The devil sends, like, these, like, normal living henchmen to get this kid.
Yeah.
And he keeps sending them even after he knows that Ghost Rider is on the case. And then only after this one henchman dies does the devil bring him back to life and give him these pestilence powers.
Give him monster powers.
And it seems like, why didn't you send someone supernatural to retrieve this package earlier on? Especially because, I mean, like...
I think the answer probably involves the production budget. But yeah, it's a good question. Why bother with the middleman? Why not just send the monsters right from the
top?
Why
didn't he just show up and get that kid?
Yeah, why?
Or catch that kid.
But also it shows...
to coin a phrase.
But also it shows what a shitty job Ghost Rider is doing through most of the movie.
Well, he's stymied by humans.
He is stymied by humans. Like, he shows up, he like gets shot at, and like he can't be killed by anything, but yet still...
Well, the problem is Ghost Rider is very easily distracted.
Yeah.
And numerous times, the kid is in his clutches. He could catch that kid right then. But instead, he locks eyes with one henchman and takes a long time luxuriating and destroying him, or he gets into that big chainsaw crane and is like just laughing his head off, smashing people who don't matter.
Set some shit on fire.
When he has a chain that he can attack people from a distance, he can breathe fire, he can pee fire. There's no reason.
He ate some dude's bullets one time.
Mm-hmm. And then spit them back at him.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good.
Like, why? He really is... He doesn't know how to use his power properly. He needs to be trained by a mentor, let's say.
Yeah.
But also, he's very easily distracted. Like, Ghost Rider should be on Ritalin, probably.
Or maybe Ghost Rider's like the greatest American hero. He, like, lost the Ghost Rider manual, and he just doesn't understand.
Haircuts.
I think a lot of people would say Ghost Rider is our greatest American hero. I think it goes Ghost Rider, George Washington, the greatest American hero at number three.
What about that guy who then, kills all the
and
vampires?
Then, and then Peyton Manning at number four, Peyton Manning.
What about that vampire hunting president from all the movies you love?
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Okay. One, never really hunted vampires. Two, all joking aside, yes, greatest American in history. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, Elliot didn't even want to sully his memory by including him in his joke list.
Come on.
So
hasn't Lincoln suffered enough?
He was murdered. Let's just say, when you say as a joke, hasn't Lincoln suffered enough? Let's remember he was killed by being shot in the head while enjoying a play. So at least he was happy when he died.
It was a good play.
Oh, and earlier that day, he had taken a carriage ride with Mary Todd, and they'd started planning their life after his presidency. So sad. It's a real tragedy. Thanks for bringing us all down, Dan. Yeah, or Stuart.
Thanks for bringing us all down, Stuart. I don't know. I think your knowledge of history brought us all down.
Yeah, sorry about that. If I could have just said, yeah, his awesome vampire killing abilities and his gun axe.
That's what I was trying to set up.
All right.
Fucked it up.
Well, maybe he's number five after Peyton Manning.
Sure. So you mentioned when we were watching the movie that Ghost Rider in this movie is basically some kind of a Hulk.
Nicolas Cage is constantly struggling to control the ghost and not let it out. And it is a very Hulk thing. Like when he's mad, he starts ghosting and turning into a skull face.
Yeah.
And it's not...
It's almost like I would have preferred somebody more boring to be the hero. And then when he gets... Like, the thing he's trying to fight and hide inside is actually just actor Nicolas Cage.
That'd be pretty great. It'd just be called Cage Rider.
Yeah.
And he just turns into... That would be a pretty fantastic movie if it was like Josh Hartnett and he has to unleash Nicolas Cage.
I know. Josh Hartnett knows how to emote quite a good deal.
Well, what if it was Alex Pettyfer, though?
Yeah.
But also, in the comics, I believe it was that whenever innocent blood is shed... Johnny Blaze or Dan Ketch, the second Ghost Rider, becomes Ghost Rider. I don't think he could. It was just like when he gets mad or like it's constantly fighting him. I thought it was just when blood is shed.
So he doesn't have to drink a lot of water all the time to keep his head from turning into a flaming skull?
No, I don't think that's something.
Maybe rubbing ice cubes on his head.
He doesn't have to wrap his face in asbestos to keep the fire down.
He doesn't have to chew like cool mint gum.
So you're saying that Ghost Rider shouldn't shouldn't volunteer at a blood drive?
Certainly not.
It's going to go crazy.
I mean, maybe if it's a blood drive held at
a prison.
Or like an evil corporation.
Yeah, but I could be wrong. I think that was the original thing, but I could be wrong about that.
All right.
But same way that whatever knows fear burns at the touch of the man thing.
Well,
which seems
we're talking about Man Thing now. He's a different character.
He's a different character,
Midnight Suns.
Who would have been a fantastic character in this. I wish they had brought more Marvel characters into this movie because they're kind of stingy with it. They just have Ghost Rider and Blackout.
Just tease us. And like the Devil, who gives a shit about that guy?
Bring all the Midnight Suns in. Morbius, Doctor Strange, Blade, Hannibal King.
I guess if you're going to put the Devil, why not just make him Mephisto?
Well, I thought he was Mephisto in the last movie. That's the thing.
Played by Peter Fonda. Yeah. And who was Sam Elliott in the other one? He's just like an old-timey...
Mustachey.
Well, yeah, he had a mustache.
Yeah, Mustachey. That was his name.
Italian. Hey, it's me, a mustachey. How do you like my mustache?
Mm-hmm. And he rides a flaming horse.
He has a flaming organ grinder thing and a flaming monkey.
Sure.
That collects flaming coins from flaming passersby.
He is Italian, right?
Yes, yep. And he throws a flaming pizza dough in the air.
Spicy meatballs at everybody.
Have some of my flaming limoncello.
He throws a pepperoni slice and it cuts someone's head off.
Oh, he just see, Dan was just in Italy, so he knows Italian stereotypes better than both of us.
Yeah, that's true.
He's wearing flaming...
come on.
He's wearing flaming loafers without socks on.
I don't think you were in Italy.
What?
That's all you remembered.
He has flaming gelato.
Strike two.
Yeah, I think all of his vacation pictures were taken inside of a Domino's. So.
I think he just went to an Olive Garden. I don't think he went to Italy.
Hey, Hospitaliano, guys.
You went to the hospital? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had to get my flaming mustache treated.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about Ghost Rider.
Yeah, kind of.
Is it time to talk about it some more?
Yeah, I think. Well, we really haven't said much about the quality of the film.
So it was great, clearly.
I was very disappointed in this movie. I thought it was going to be way crazier and over-the-top-ish.
Yeah, Neville Dean and Taylor gave us the impression from their Crank movies, because the guys who made this made the Crank movies.
Yeah.
That they were going to deliver a really crazy Ghost Rider movie.
And there's a little bit of that. There's some high craziness, adrenaline moments, but then it gets very slow and very dull and lasts like that. And it's not a long movie. It's like an hour and 30 minutes, but it feels much longer.
I mean, there's a lot of scenes of...
stuff running around an attorney. It was really boring.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes of people just wandering across landscapes, which may be fine if you're Andrei Tarkovsky. But come on, Neville D. Taylor.
There's a lot of scenes of, you know, eyes turning into skull sockets.
Yeah, but that gets old after a while.
And then Nick Cage trying to shake that off.
Like, I kind of wanted to see
like
Nick
walk
Cage.
It off.
Nick Cage is Nick Cage is putting the moves on the single mom, and then puts his arm around her, and then looks and sees he has a skeleton can, and goes whoa, and puts it behind his back.
Okay,
is there something wrong? What's the matter? Nothing, nothing. I just go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Runs to the bathroom. His head's already on fire.
Yeah. Come on, not now. Come on.
Yeah, a little more.
Oh, Ghosty, don't screw me.
Maybe
don't
maybe
ride
trying
block
to,
me.
Yeah, maybe trying to hide his affection for the devil's mom by I don't know, because that kid's the devil, right?
The kid is the son of the devil.
Okay, so trying to
Damon
hide
Damon Hellstrom.
Okay, trying to hide that kid.
So
his, wait,
here's a question.
Just cut him off, Dan. Cut him off.
No, I mean, the idea of being ghost blocked just brought it up. Like, I know it was a I know it was a fantasy sequence, but I
are
mean,
you talking about Ghostbusters?
Well, this flaming penis of his.
Well, he does
like the flaming pee.
I mean,
like,
his penis isn't on fire, probably.
I would assume, no, but there is no penis.
But
that's
the thing. If he's a skeleton, he has no soft tissue.
A boner, Elliot.
No,
it's got a bone in it.
Touche, and probably slightly wormy. I'm guessing that
blood in that's those are basically blood bladders that
what has my fucking grandma been telling me?
why have you been talking to your grandma about this?
Well, we were talking about boners.
Okay.
Thanksgiving at the Wellington House.
Your explanation just reiterated what you said before.
Gather around, children, gather around, and I'll tell you a story of boners.
Of boners of years past.
Boners of yesteryear, of yore. King Arthur's boner was a mighty boner. He pulled it out of a stone. Which
and
made him
transporting me back to my my youth.
Back to your granny's house.
Yeah.
The I think it's just he just opens his pants and fire is constantly spilling out. And maybe he just shapes his hands into like a tunnel so the fire comes out in a pea spray.
So is the like is there fire is there like a fire bladder inside
I think it's,
of him?
No,
like,
I think his body's just constantly on fire.
Okay.
Fire bladder. Anyway, there were these moments of stupidity that I wish were greater parts of the movie, and the pea fire is one of them. That, like, it's one of those things. There are those moments, it's like, look, at heart, Ghost Rider is kind of a stupid concept. It's a really cool visual. It's an awesome visual that doesn't hold up too well when it's walking around and talking and hitting people. So, like, let's just have fun with it and do crazy stuff. But as with any movie where there's a prophecy that has to be fulfilled and some, like, some ritual has to be performed in the light of the full moon before the dawn breaks or some stuff, it's like, it gets really bogged down and not fun.
And part of the problem is similar to the problems with the Hulk, is that you have a character who the audience just wants them to be their, like, monster form.
Yeah.
They don't really care about the nerdy, normal guy.
And even when it's Nicolas Cage.
And when you have a star play the normal guy, it causes a problem, I'm sure, somewhere in the movie-making process.
You're paying Nick Cage tens of millions of dollars, probably, like, you don't want to have his character be played by a CGI skeleton most of the movie. Like, you want to get your money's worth with Nick Cage, especially since the skeleton
barely
talks.
You're probably shooting most of the shots in his various castles and Eastern European holdings.
I have to assume the castle in the beginning where they have a massacre of monks is his castle that he owns.
Including Anthony Stewart Head, as Dan pointed out.
Giles from Buffy, Anthony Stewart Head.
And from Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Yeah, he shows up at the very beginning of the movie in, like, the prologue. Says about two lines and then gets shot in the head.
Doing good.
The Anthony Stewart head, as Stewart said.
Nope, it was Elliot.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. Now I know every memory you have of me, you've inserted Stewart in.
Yeah, please keep attributing Elliot jokes to me.
Thanks. I guess you wanted that's the director's cut the way you wish those memories had happened if you had had the technology of the time.
Yeah.
Well, there's a certain dopey Stewart quality to that joke that.
I guess
thanks.
So.
Oh, man, now it's a bird.
But Nicolas Cage at one point owned at least two castles. He had to sell at least one of them for tax purposes. Good grief, you Charlie Brown now?
I pulled the football out from under Stewart, the football of
no, that's his hemorrhoid pillow, Dan.
Yeah.
So
it's not a football.
Ew.
Footballs aren't shaped like big puffy donuts.
You can have it back. I guess we should probably
final judgment.
Do
this
our
thing?
Final judgment.
I think we should probably start from the top and talk about the movie all over again.
Okay, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Smash cut.
Catch that kid. Smash cut. We're in hell, where a young man named Ghost Rider is dreaming of the future. Aw, I'll never be a Spirit of Vengeance because I'm not big and strong. Drink your milk,
like
Ghost
Nicolas
Rider.
Cage.
Yeah, like Nicolas Cage. Then his dad gets killed by a burglar. He gets bitten by a radioactive whatever. Mm-hmm. Turns into Superman.
Radioactive motorcycle.
Alfred teaches him that,
I like that. Keep that,
that he can't do everything, but he thinks he can.
And that the reason we fall is because we can learn to pick ourselves back up out of hell.
Exactly. Bane breaks his back and then turns
into a
guy in a wheelchair with a huge head and a mustache.
Spoiler alert.
Then Green Lantern fights Wonder Woman and Superman returns from space.
Okay.
Then Gremlins show up. Gremlins 2, The New Batch are right behind. Of course, 1492, The Discovery of Paradise. And It Happened Here, directed by Kevin Brownlow. Then, of course, there's Reanimator, Monkey Shines, which leads to Sophie's Choice.
Naturally.
The Man Who Knew Too Much meets The Man Who Knew Too Little, The Man Who Wasn't There, and then, of course, The Man with Two Faces, Two-Face, Batman Forever, and Forever Plaid. So I think that pretty much covers it, right?
Yep. So
Ghost Rider,
Ghost
catch
Rider,
that kid.
Catch that kid, Spirit of Vengeance,
Part 2,
3D, up the streets.
So yeah, were we missing out? Was this original? Was this in 3D? Was this driving 3D?
It was shot in 2D and then post turned into 3D.
Okay.
So we didn't. So it was fakey 3D.
Okay. We didn't miss too much then.
No.
Yeah. So was this a good bad movie, a bad movie, a movie you kind of liked? Stuart, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I was really hoping this to be...
You piece of shit.
I was really hoping not to be talked to that way, first off.
I apologize. That was the 70s cop in me.
Of course I wanted to like this movie. Everybody knows I love Nicolas Cage, but... Yeah, it was pretty boring. There was a lot of boring shit in it, and it did feel like I was lied to by the trailer in that all the exciting stuff was basically the end of the movie, which ended up not being excited when watched as a movie and not a trailer.
And the flame pee was a dream. It was like a fantasy moment.
Yeah, come on. I was expecting that to be like the actual climax.
Yeah, like, he's 30 minutes of the movie should have been about the flame pee.
Because, no,
yeah,
no,
like when he had the devil on his knees at the very
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
The devil's like, what are you going to do about it? He's like, I'll pee in your face. Awesome.
What would be more insulting than to be burned to death by pee? Come on.
Yeah, nothing. Literally nothing.
Yeah, come on.
So I'm going to have to say a bad, bad movie, although
it's Abu Ghraib level embarrassment.
I will have to amend this because when I heard that it was in 3D and I didn't see it in 3D, mm-hmm. I have to say it was probably a good movie in 3D.
That makes everything better.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
sure.
did not see it as the director intended.
Well, no, you
yeah.
did because it was post-processed into 3D.
No, I think
the
yeah.
studio intended me to see it in 3D, so it was
yeah,
probably
the real
good. Tour.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so your thoughts?
I would also call this a bad, bad movie.
So you're agreeing with me
again? Except for the good, good part, I also had high hopes that this would be a fun, stupid piece of fun stoop, but instead it turns out to be pretty dull and not a lot of craziness, which is what I was hoping for. So bad, bad.
Yeah, I for a while was hovering around a movie I kind of liked.
The first like 20 minutes were better than the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
In that it was the camera was all shaky and Nicolas Cage was being a goof, and you know
it just got dull. Like I liked all the silly stuff like. The green screen, like driving around,
and Nicolas Cage making faces like somebody's pinching his genitals.
Yeah,
which is, I have to assume he was doing that to himself. But there's also there's a
very method I hear.
Very late in the movie, Blackout kind of wins me over a couple times. There's a part where he's dissolving Idris Elba's body, and Idris Elba headbutts him, and in such a so hard that Idris Elba's head. Bursts into dust, and it gets in Blackout's mouth. And Stuart went, "That's gross." And then Blackout goes, "Puh puh." That's gross. And it was great. That moment was great. So if you can watch this movie with Stuart and have him say that line before Blackout says it, then.
I'm available on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, guys. I'd rather not leave Brooklyn, specifically Park Slope. So just I am me.
So if you're in the slope. And Dan, what about you?
What about me?
Your final judgment.
I gave it.
Oh,
what?
Right.
You asshat.
I was busy thinking about the it's gross part.
All right.
You've been calling me asshat a lot tonight. Not on the show, but beforehand. I should probably take this ass off.
He's just trying it out, dude.
He's just trying out his new insults. He just got them.
Yeah, I got to rotate them. They're like crops, you know? They
like,
get a higher
what?
Yield.
Yeah, you don't want the
insult
soil
insults.
To get drained of nutrients.
And right now I'm in the asshat phase.
All Dan's
right.
looking at his iPad, so that's either celebrity boobs or letters.
Or both.
It was celebrity boobs earlier, but now it's letters. And this
the celebrity
letter,
boobs. I think you mean. I assume you mean the Three Stooges. What a bunch of boobs!
Yeah, a lot of yucks though. A lot of yucks.
High five.
A lot of
yucks. Effect.
Anyway, letter.
This is from Hector, last name with hell.
Elizondo.
Not Alessandro?
No, there's no Alessandro.
This is it says a Stuart Wellington approved Flophouse recommendation.
Let's hope.
Dear Floppers, I want to start by saying that since I discovered your show through AV Club's Podmass feature a while back, the Flophouse has quickly become my favorite podcast. Now I think we should step aside here.
I agree. Let's tangentize.
Okay, so we're gonna Zach Morris time out it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then take
order
our,
a shitload of pizzas for Mr. Belding.
Take our huge cell phones, mm-hmm. Find a homeless man at the mall, invite him to live at our house, and never see him again. That's how you Zach Morris. But we should mention that...
the dance craze is sweeping the nation.
The AV Club was very kind enough to include us again in their regular Podmas feature as one in their roundup of the best podcasts.
I think that was probably a typo.
Maybe. But it was... They reviewed our last episode of Mortals, which, not one of our most amazing episodes, but it was great to see them give us a positive write-up. We were very glad to have it, and we hope more people discover us as a result.
Get to the point, dude. Yeah.
So thank you very much, AV Club.
GGP.
Yeah.
The real point I want to get, this is something I was notified of tonight before this recording, which is that apparently some hooligan, some blackguard, some dastardly devious D villain has posted a comment in the threads on that Podmas under my name, and I do not appreciate
it's
that.
It's probably not your wife.
It's not my wife. She doesn't care about this podcast, doesn't pay attention to it.
Okay. It wasn't Dan,
because Dan posted under his own name to get into a troll squabble.
We call those a flame war in the biz.
In what biz? The internet commenting biz. So that was Dan. That was the real Dan McCoy. Well, the real McCoy, you might call him.
I thought that since I am a Billy Goat Gruff, I could get the best of this troll, but I did not.
But
I didn't post it because I don't, one, know how to post things using my phone.
Yes.
And I was working.
So
but there's someone in the comments section with the name Elliot Kalin.
Not me.
Who said... About time.
Was it spelled correctly?
It was spelled correctly, but that's not for those
who
people.
Who is doing this?
He didn't put apostrophe about time or anything.
Yeah.
But that's how I talk. I'm about it.
And you're saying if you ever want to comment on anything in the AV Club, you'll have to be posting as the real
the
Elliot
Kalin. The real Elliot
Kalin. Or Elliot Kalin 69, as I suggested.
That it was your suggestion, yeah.
Those verified checks next to you.
I just want everyone to know that was not me commenting. I'm very unhappy about it, but it does mean I'm officially a celebrity who's been cyber squatted. So if someone wants to add that to my Wikipedia entry, go right ahead. And I want to say to the AV Club, I would never make a comment like that. I was very appreciative that you wrote about us, and I hope you do again in the future. It was very nice of you.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to
And
the
to that other Elliot Kalin, who are you? Why are you trying to steal my life?
Why are you taking his
face I have a set
off?
Of skills. Skills that could be very useful in this whatever.
So what with Elliot's ability to recall...
Back to the letter. Oh, that's when Zach goes, time in.
Okay. Yeah. Pizzas arrive. Mr. Belding is perplexed, but pays for them.
What with Elliot's...
They serve them at the fourth prom they've held that week.
What with Elliot's misspelled ability to recall vast stores of frivolous pop culture factoids.
Yep, saved by the bell.
Stuart's raw sex appeal. And Dan's, how do you say, Leonardiness, the Flophouse has grown to be my favorite bad movie cover podcast, and I think it trumps the competition.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I assume when you say, having said that, something more positive is going to come afterwards.
Having said all this, I noticed that a lot more of the recent films you guys have covered are curiously lacking in the ding-dong mutilation department. Just ridiculous amounts
Hollywood,
of gore in general.
You know?
Immortals just had a guy slamming a huge hammer into another guy's chunk.
That's actually a really good point.
But there was a big ding-dong mutilation gap before then, yeah.
So might I suggest you guys suggest a film that will surely make up for that general lack of gore...
Antichrist?
...and bad taste by pointing you guys towards an Aussie splatstick film in the mold of one Peter Jackson's and or Sam Raimi's earlier films. I speak of the 1993 gore movie Body Melt.
Hmm.
A film,
sounds great.
A film
it's
written
like a cheese melt? Or tuna melt?
A film written and directed by the former member of an experimental music troupe with an irritatingly unpronounceable name, Right Arrow, Up Arrow, Right Arrow. Yeah, those are the symbols. As per Wikipedia's summary of the film, the movie is about the residents of the small town of Pebbles Court, who are the unknowing test subjects for a new variety of Vimuel dietary supplement pills that arrive for free in their mailboxes. The pills are designed to produce the ultimate healthy human, but have unexpected side effects, including hallucinations and mutations. Here's just a small list of certain scenes that I hope will whet your appetite. 1. A scene in which a man has his ribcage massaged out of his stomach.
Spoiler alert.
2. A scene in which a pregnant woman's unborn baby attempts to kill her by expelling itself from her body and attacking both her and her husband with tendrils.
Awesome.
And 3, of course, a scene in which a couple has the very little definition of killer sex. Hint, it has to do with the dude's ding-dong, which I'm sure Stuart will enjoy.
Thanks for the hint.
So that's a recommendation from one Hector, last name withheld.
Well, Hector Alessandro, thank you for the recommendations. Body melt. I will
Body meow.
Why do you guys say a weed?
Yeah, I haven't seen that film, but I'll have to try it.
Sounds good. Sounds a little bit like a recommendation I made. No, I can't think of anything. Maybe like Black Roses, the movie where the devil rock band shows up into the small town and turns everybody into demons.
That's not the one with the Nazi demons, is it?
I don't think they're Nazi demons. That's the one with the really awesome VHS box cover that was like puffy.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm thinking of Heavy Metal Zombies. Cover.
I think it
was either called Heavy Metal Zombies or Hard Rock Zombies.
Although,
and there's a scene over the course of a couple scenes, you just see this one demon zombie puppet eat its own face.
Although I think the rock band, the evil rock band at the end of Blood Diner featured a couple of Adolf Hitlers.
That sounds about right, yeah. Or Bliner. Blood Diner or Bliner.
Okay, back to the letters.
This one's titled On Cannons, and it's from Matthew, last name withheld for tax purposes.
Lesko. Matthew Lesko, then.
It says, Dearest Floppers, recently a friend and I went to see a little movie called Prometheus, which I liked well enough to hope that it doesn't end on the subject of a future episode.
I liked it.
Yeah, we all enjoyed it. After the movie...
A lady commits robo-surgery on herself to pull an octopus baby out of her belly.
And then two awesome aliens fucking get in a fight and have sex.
Well, I don't know if it's sex. It's a sexual assault.
I don't know. It's consensual.
It seemed pretty consensual. That one weird dude.
They both ended up dead at the end of it. Talk about killer sex. That's for you, Hector. Continue with the letter.
After the movie, my friend found an interview where Ridley Scott offered an explanation for one of the mysteries in the movie.
I'm sure that's...
In the hopes of not spoiling anything, I will say that it involved the possibility of a space Jesus. My friend then said that the interview was the definitive explanation. Thinking that that particular explanation was stupid, and that Scott and company had decided against explicitly including it in the movie, I said it was just a possible explanation, and that only the things found in the movie itself could count as official or definitive. We have not been able to come to an agreement, even an agreement to disagreement. So I turn to you, floppers. Is something a creator says in an interview part of the canon of their work, even if they didn't think it was worthwhile to include it in the actual work?
So we're like Judge John Hodgman now?
Yeah, we're a couple of Judges John Hodgman right now.
I want to compliment you on not agreeing to disagree, because, number one, that's stupid. And number two,
is the basis of a civil society.
No.
Can I tell you where I come down on this one?
Yeah.
I come down squarely in favor of the letter writer. You have to go with the text of the film, the content of the film. The creator may say what he wants.
Fucking Ridley Scott always
makes
up bullshit about his fucking stupid movies.
But unless he's George Lucas, once the film is out in the open, he no longer has control over interpretation. He can say what he meant it to be.
But if it is George Lucas, of course, everything he does afterwards is great. And taken 100% as canon.
No, just what I'm saying.
He
just has a different relationship with his work, with his output. Mm-hmm. But it's like Marcel Duchamp said, it takes two to make a work of art, the artist and the spectator. And the spectator is in some ways an equal and in some ways a greater half of that equation. And also that Space Jesus explanation, I know the one you're referring to, is stupid. And it's unnecessary, so there's no reason
for it. He doesn't have a beard? There's no dude with a beard. Space Jesus. Thank you.
Everyone knows that Space Jesus had a space beard.
And the scary thing about that movie, if there is a scary thing, is that we have no idea. Not to spoil it for anyone who still hasn't seen Prometheus a month and a half later or 2 months later, but the people who created us hate us and want to destroy us, and we don't know why. Maybe they changed their minds. Maybe we did something to piss them off. Maybe they're just assholes. We don't know. We never will. That's the scary thing.
Space assholes.
Now that sounds like a Peter Jackson movie. Peter Jackson's Space Assholes. He shot it every Thursday night.
Bad taste was.
Every Thursday night for 5 years.
This letter is titled...
Do you guys agree with me on that one?
No. Oh, sorry. Yes, I do agree with you.
I do agree that that would make an awesome Peter Jackson movie.
Okay.
Although he'll probably turn it into three separate movies.
Three separate movies with a lot of topical. a lot of dwarf singing.
So we hope that answers your question about what would make an awesome Peter Jackson movie.
Continuing, Dan.
Suggestions for Stuart's new sound.
Are we doing that?
This is from Dan, last name withheld.
So McCoy.
So you wrote us a letter because you want to get your sound on the air. That's
and the
cool.
sound is, Dan's great. Dan's the best. Not really a sound.
Humbly submitted. Okay. When Elliot's plot summary reaches a mind-shattering twist, e.g., the old woman in the elevator is the devil, then Stuart should exclaim in a heavy French accent, reminiscent of Lumiere the Candlestick or Alex Proyas, Sacre bleu!
Or Idris Elba in this movie.
Yeah, as Marceau.
I think this would ratchet up the drama and give the Flophouse a continental old world flavor, much like Ragu. P.S. I imagine that the phrase E.G. prompted Elliot to make an E.G. Marshall joke. Nailed it?
In my head, yeah. There you go. I thought about him. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
So, Sacre bleu. Yeah. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah. Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Soccer blue.
Soccer blue.
So soccer blue.
Which sounds like
that would get us. I think that would get
soccer
us more
blue
French
is like
listeners.
A 70s like light porn film.
Oh, I was going to say it sounds like a character in a shitty like neo noir set in the future. On the case of Soccer Blue. Soccer Blue was a dancer.
See, I'm thinking like there's like a maybe like a Swedish girls soccer team, and it's about their sexual awakening.
And like they're all Smurfs, and they start
so soccer blue.
So it's like a softcore porn Ladybugs.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of surprised that doesn't exist.
With older actors, I mean, that sounds creepy.
What, like in their 80s, than Rodney Dangerfield? He was already pretty old when he made Ladybugs.
About the kids. They're not. For God's sake.
You want to make a porn about kids?
No, okay. I'm arguing against it.
Dan McCoy does not speak for the Flophouse on this one. I remember when I was here's another quick story about young Elliot. When I was in fifth grade, I was
you
the end.
You really wanted to be Jonathan Brandis?
Well, all my life I wanted to be Jonathan Brandis until a certain thing happened that I think we all know what it is, involving suicide. But so when I was in fifth grade, we were graduating from elementary
Thanks
school.
Thanks for taking it lightly.
We were graduating from elementary school, so there was fifth grade yearbook, and they were going to list what the favorite movies of the year were. And there was a big hullabaloo.
It was all Terminator 2, right?
It should have been, but there were two competing groups. The girls wanted Ladybugs to be it, and there were two guys who were so unhappy about this that they created a voting block in favor of Wayne's World. And they were like, even if you don't like Wayne's World that much, do you really want it to say Ladybugs in your yearbook? And in the end, there was enough of a tie that it said Ladybugs / Wayne's World. So nobody was happy.
Which is, I'm assuming, the unofficial sequel to both films, because they never made a sequel to Wayne's World.
Exactly.
But isn't that the
It's a crossover sequel. I, of course, voted for Magnificent Ambersons, the original Lost Cut.
But isn't that a sign of a good compromise, Elliot, when no one's happy?
Wrong.
Ladybugs, Wayne's World. The best compromise possible.
Well, the best part is they did it alphabetically instead of
Wayne's World Ladybugs.
The bigger stars.
Yeah.
Ronnie Dangerfield, again, way bigger star.
Bigger star than Dana Carvey?
Always.
What about that movie?
How many
Master of Disguise? Come on.
Yeah. He did play a turtle man. Yeah. But did he ever do a cartoon kids movie where he played a dog version of himself? No. Rodney Dangerfield did. It was called Rover Dangerfield.
He also rapped, so there you go.
And Rodney Dangerfield.
He did or the dog did?
Both. At the same time. It was a duet. And there was also that animated movie Rock-a-Doodle, but I don't think that had anything to do with Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. It was just like a rock and roll rooster.
You're thinking of Rodney Doodle.
Rodney Doodle.
Was Rock-a-Doodle's fatter, older brother.
Mm-hmm. Who didn't get any respect.
A little bit more of a party animal, but, you know.
Finally made it through college.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the movie where we recommend.
This is a movie? Flophouse the movie that finally got made?
This is a part of the movie of our lives.
With Seth Rogen as Stuart Wellington, David Paymer as Elliot Kalin.
All right, guys.
And Dan McCoy as himself.
The movie of our lives has reached the second act, so now we really need to, we need to face.
I'm gonna wrap it up. Gonna wrap that shit up.
Oh, I thought you said rabbit up. Like we had to throw a rabbit in the air. I was like, is that a technical term I didn't recognize? Is that a film slang term?
Yeah, we use it in the biz.
In the dot biz.
So this is the part of the show, part of the podcast, where we recommend movies that we've seen recently, usually,
and liked,
that we enjoyed. In contrast,
so we recommend a movie as opposed to just shitting on things.
Yeah, okay. To show that we've got some joy in our heart,
that we're not just hateful haters.
Okay, dudes. Well, I'm going to recommend a little movie called Space Jail, starring Guy Pearce.
I thought you were about to say Space Jam. It's like, wow, a real twist. I didn't expect you to recommend Space Jam. So no. It's not called Space Jail.
No, I'm turning it around. It's called Space Jail, I think.
It's called Lockup.
Oh, wait, Lockup?
Lockout.
Yes. Lockout?
Lockup would make more sense because space is up.
Yeah.
Well, but it's out. Lockout. There is no up in space.
Dan just informed me it's called Lockout. It stars Guy Pearce as a sassy talking mercenary who has to go in.
He is super sassy.
Yeah, the sassiest character ever in a movie ever.
Ever?
Goes. Yeah, first of all, it's the best movie ever and is the sassiest character ever. So, Elliot, I guess you're going to have to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I want to.
To refute this comment that I made. So he goes into outer space. He's got to save the president's daughter,
he's
of course.
He's got to save Shannon from Lost.
So it's escape from L.A. in space.
I guess if you want to minimize the impact the movie had on my life, then yes. So he goes up there and then he finds the entire space jail has been taken over by the inmates, of course. And
space inmates.
It's being run by a pair of space brothers from Scotland, I'm guessing.
So they're just regular brothers.
Yeah.
They can't be space brothers if they're from Scotland.
So, well, but once they're in space, they're
the
space
only
brothers.
Answer,
then
the
everything only... was a space pencil, space toothbrush, space pavement.
Look, do you want to save time or do you want to be in space?
Good point. Yeah. Continue, Stuart.
So he's in outer space. Guy Pearce, that is, and the jail. And so he has to save Shannon from Lost, played by TV's Maggie Grace.
Are we going scene by scene, or what's going on?
No. So he has to save her, and I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but it's awesome. So go see Space Jail.
I mean, you probably don't need to go anywhere to see it. I mean, like, you've
got
a cable
go to your fucking
provider
TV.
That... Right now, like if you got Time Warner, for instance, you can pay the $6 and watch it tonight.
It was like $4
watch it right now.
To me. Oh, you probably watched it in HD.
Yeah,
I didn't. I watched it in regular D, as it was intended.
Everything
so,
Stuart watches is in double D.
That's actually true. So, Space Jail, Dan.
It's called Lockout.
I rewatched actually a movie that I saw back in high school, but haven't seen since.
The Dark Knight Rises. You saw it.
I'm aging backwards, like Merlin.
What?
No, that's how I saw it when I was in high school.
Merlin was aging backwards?
Yeah. That's how he knew the future, was that he was aging backwards in time.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I didn't know that. You sure he wasn't aging backwards?
So a little bit of Arthurian legend for everyone.
Yeah.
But what I watched...
It's like a porno series name, by the way.
Asian Backwards, starring Merlin. I'm not proud of what I did.
John Merlin.
Camelot had fallen and I was falling on hard times. I needed the money. I was going to regret it. End of chapter one. He's reading his audiobook.
I watched a movie.
Short chapter. It's by a the Dan name. Brown style book, huh?
Chapter the second. I was riding high in the porn world. People were craving my staff, and I don't mean in a magic way. And this is chapter two. All of Arthurian legend is chapter one of the book. What other adventures did Merlin have? Anyway, Dan, continue.
I watched the movie Top Copy, directed by Jules Dassin, who you may...
Classic heist film.
You may know from the film Rafifi. And
or he also did Night in the City,
yeah,
which is a fantastic movie.
Top Copy is also a heist film like Rafifi, but a much more lighthearted one. And it I guess Ocean's 11, the original Ocean's 11, came before it, but I think that Top Copy kind of kicked off sort of like the light comic heist film as a genre.
It was certainly it's certainly one of the better ones.
And
I personally prefer Gambit, but Top Copy is also good.
It's a very fun movie.
You want to minimize his recommendation on it anymore?
So, yeah, I apologize.
It's shot in Turkey. It has some beautiful 1960s style, colorful cinematography. Peter Ustinov won an Oscar for his best supporting actor role in there as a small-time con artist who gets in with some a major jewel heist and gets in over his head, but he's very funny and lovable in the movie, and it's just super entertaining. I say watch it if you enjoy things that are enjoyable.
And who doesn't? Who doesn't enjoy that?
Not me.
I'd like. Oh boy, I'd like to recommend a movie. You
guys, a new character called guy who doesn't like movies.
Guy who doesn't enjoy things.
Oh, I hate everything.
So Eeyore.
So Eeyore, basically, yeah. But he's a guy. He's not a donkey.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. What is he, a donkey?
Well, that's...
just said he wasn't a donkey.
I'd like to recommend a movie. You guys may have seen this. I don't know. A little movie called Death Dream. It's also known by the name...
Bob Clark movie?
Yes. It's also known by the name Dead of Night. And it's directed by Bob Clark, who you know from Christmas Story and Porky's, among other things.
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas also. This is one he made before Black Christmas, about a family who are overjoyed when their son returns from the Vietnam War, despite the fact that they've already received a telegram telling them that he was killed in action. And, of course, the son is not who he seems. And it's a very kind of well-put-together, well-made, and well-acted, for the most part, low-budget 70s horror film. And this kind of slow build about what's wrong with their son and what he's been doing is really nice. And there's some great makeup effects in it, and it moves pretty fast, and, you know, it's got a lot of 70s clothes in it, but not stupid 70s clothes, just, like, not exaggerated, like, 70s costumes, but like, oh, these are the types of clothes people wore in the 70s.
Okay.
A lot of giant medallions.
Exactly. Not a lot of, like, bell bottoms and hats with feathers on them and things like that.
It was an unexpected place for your recommendation to go to talk about the 70s clothes.
Well, no, but it's one of those, I feel like in low-budget movies, a lot of the times you get a better record of how people lived.
Right.
Because they're shooting in real houses, real clothes, so using people who sometimes are just real people that they know.
So a lot like the Starsky and Hutch movie starring Ben Stiller.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're saying, exactly. Right? But anyway, it's a good, nice, tight horror thriller, Death Dream, also known as Dead of Night.
So, guys, I guess that's it.
Don't sound too sad about it.
Well, it's always hard to say goodbye. To yesterday.
Yeah, it's been a good one. So,
why are you so philosophical all of a sudden, Dan? Are you aging backwards? Or are you Asian backwards?
Well,
we won't
I
judge
wish.
You.
If only I was Asian backwards. Well.
This has been another Cage Cast?
Yeah, for the Cage Cast.
Brought to you by Cage's Cages, the only cages strong enough to withhold Nicolas Cage. How does he know? Because he designed them.
Let me out of this cage. Let me out. Get me out of here.
I really don't appreciate being locked in this cage.
So thanks to Cage's Cages for that sponsorship, our first sponsorship.
Sure.
First ever sponsor.
And for the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
At night, listen to the moon. See what whispers on the wind. Listen to the rustle in the trees. And stare at a star, and maybe you'll hear the name Elliot Kalin. Good night.
Oh my God! The bad guy was Jewish.
Oh, but he sounds like Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay, so he was like Watto from Phantom Menace.
He was a Jewish stereotype. That's why Bane.
You wanna make a deal?
That's why Bane kept going, I won't pay that much.
Okay, everyone.
That's when I can get you a neutron bomb for much less than that.
I am a golem.
Never that price for a neutron bomb. Fear comes later.